Pittsburgh section of National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Program. This is Shirley Stolzer and Mari Lurie in the office of Mr. Meyer Berger. This is an update on a former interview that we had with him. Mr. Berger, would you just state your name and tell us the name of your company here?
Meyer Berger. It's M. Berger Company.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Berger, it's been 8 years since we last talked with you, and that's a long time. And I'm sure many things have occurred that you might be able to share with us, and we really thank you very much for volunteering to do so. Since you had the idea of updating this, I wonder if you would like to just start wherever you feel most comfortable doing so.
Well, let's take it chronologically. I suppose in our last interview, I covered the events of 1981-82, mm-hmm. which had considerable significance because in 81 I took a public position opposed to the invasion of Lebanon, and again in 82 when the war was declared, they officially invaded. And as a result of that, I was asked to join the International Center for Peace in the Mideast, headed up by Avi Eban, mm-hmm. and the American contingent was headed up by Phil Klutschnick.
Could you tell us how you said I made a public statement?
Well, I...
How did you do
well,
that?
Well, because there weren't many people in the Jewish community who would come out, but I had a lot of contact with the press from my political experiences over mm-hmm. the years. And reporter, I'd been the name of Friedman with the Miami Daily News and a number of other papers, called me, and I told them that was a great mistake. And counterproductive and humanistically wrong. Mm-hmm. And Ted Koppel picked that up and put me on the air mm-hmm. with Howard Squadron, who was then head of the president of a major Jewish organization conference.
Squadron?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of flack for that. On the other hand, I discovered a good many people internationally who agreed with my position, and we formally organized this in Tel Aviv in 1981 and subsequently in Jerusalem in 1982.
I assume Mr. Friedman wrote some articles and you received letters. Is that how you knew you were being supported?
Well, no. Actually, it was picked up by the Washington Post, but then it was the Ted Koppel show
brought it to public notice.
Mm-hmm. And Leonard Fine was part of the American group, Rita Hauser, Stanley Scheinbaum, and a number of other what I call considered progressive minded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi David Saperstein from Washington. Mm-hmm. And that group is still alive and well.
It is.
And meets regularly. We have a New York branch of it, mm-hmm. an American branch of the International Center for Peace. Mm-hmm. And it is the voice of a more liberal side, the labor side in the Perez Rabin group in Israel, and subsequently, for the period that Peres was prime minister, we saw him regularly. Whenever he'd come here, we'd meet with him. So our viewpoint was well represented. These were the objectives that we had been striving for. He immediately, upon his And I believe it was probably 85 when he was initiated.
Harris.
Yes. Mm-hmm. About 84 or 85. Mm-hmm. About the time of this last interview. During that time, we were, you might say, his closest allies in this country. It was, I think, a period of 2.5 years. By agreement, they'd agreed to switch off in order to make a joint government work. The Likud, the Labor Party, took it for like 30 months and then turned it over to the Likud, which some of us thought was a great mistake. We thought they should have called for a vote of confidence in the new government and then had an election, but that didn't happen.
Did you travel to Israel for these meetings, or were they all in the States?
Oh, no. Well, the meetings with Paris, I'm not talking about formal meetings now. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the people who had been Paris supporters over the years.
I see.
We were the ends. We were not critical of Israel in those years. We were highly supportive. When they wanted to come over and talk, we'd arrange meetings with the community. Unfortunately, to continue with the Paris administration, there was terrible inflation when he came in. He cured that. He put them on a solid financial footing and ended the war in Lebanon. And really justified our position and the faith we had. Of course, now we're back to the same old place. We're criticizing the government in power.
Have you been actively doing so through the group?
Well, the group continues to do so, but in the present crisis, you know, you have to be. But I certainly disagree today with the position of the American leadership. We appear to be supportive of the present government. And the view that, that quote, you give comfort to the anti-Semites when you criticize Israel, well, it's pretty powerful stuff. But in my opinion, it's dead wrong. I mean, if we'd have made it clear to the leadership over there that the American Jewish community highly disapproves. And if you were to take a vote, I think you would certainly find that that there is no public support for the kind of Israel reaction to the Intifada. People have more or less gotten used to it now, constant repetition causes one to lower its opposition, and really it's an erosion of your reaction to what you consider non-Jewish activity.
Right. Are you still active in the International Center?
Not really.
No.
No, I'm not part of the leadership. I was part of the original group.
Have you been active in writing letters to the editor? Because I've seen at various times letters to the editor.
No, I occasionally have perspectives, like a column. I write from time.
Really? In the press?
No, in the Post Gazette.
Post-Gazette.
I haven't done too much of that, really. I wrote recently a piece on the American participation in the Gulf crisis. I said that. excuse me. That unfortunately, this is something we, of course, had to do, but we come out appearing as supporters of probably the wealthiest and least generous people in the world. who rent other nations, the Pakistanis, the Indians, several hundred thousand to come in and do the work, mm-hmm. and then expel them when they don't need them, a rented nation, mm-hmm. and cause all this suffering. And I suggested, in the interest of justice, as well as the improvement of the way the United States would be perceived, that they ought to establish a tithing fund, perhaps a dollar a barrel for oil, for these people who are suffering, as well as the displaced refugees from all the wars they've participated in over the years, and they do nothing for. We just leave them in their hovels there.
You're talking about the Arab states.
I'm talking about the various Palestinian
groups
and locations. Mm-hmm. The West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and they do nothing for them. The places are awash in oil and money, but they do nothing for their poor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet the sympathies of those poor are not with us. They're anti-U.S.
Yes.
And even more so when we go in there to oppose Hussein and the others who really exploit them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
you've put a lot of time into this International Center for Peace in the Middle East.
I wouldn't say that. No.
No.
There is no political activity now.
I see.
But every time there's an election, I go out and raise money for them.
You do.
Contribute money for them.
An election in the...
In Israel.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is there a group in Israel, too?
It's centered in Israel.
Yeah,
that's where the International Center for Peace in the Middle East is.
I see.
And it represents the labor group and the other progressives.
So the leadership is all throughout the world, Israel and all throughout.
Well, we have representation in London, Belgium, mm-hmm. France. There are groups,
mm-hmm.
and we have this group.
Are you active in any other Zionist type groups here?
Oh no.
No.
No, mm-hmm. Well, my view is, the Zionists, even Hadassah, it's my country right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like saying, my driver, drunk or sober.
Mm-hmm.
It's my driver. Mm-hmm. That's what we would say about the people that say, well, Israel, right or wrong. Irrespective of how it impinges on the sense of Jewish ethics
mm-hmm.
and principles, and why are we more than Jews, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're citizens of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that...
Do you have a group here that you support your kind of thinking?
Yes, it's a growing group.
Mm-hmm.
It's started since I was the only one from Pittsburgh at that
That's
time.
That's what I wondered.
But since then... It's the Peace Now people and the Israel Fund.
I see.
And
they're all part of this International Center for Peace.
No, the International Center for Peace is kind of a leadership fundraising group. But these people are connected with them mm-hmm. in a general way. They're the Peace Now people.
Yes.
And
do they get
and the allied groups. So.
You provide funds for the groups like Peace Now?
Oh, yes.
I see.
I contribute there and I contribute here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Civil Liberties Union, of American-Israel Civil Liberties Union.
I see.
And it's generally the more progressive approach.
What about politics here? Are you active in politics here? I knew you were.
Oh,
very
yes.
Very active in ACLU.
Well,
American Civil
Liberties. Yeah, but I'm an activist in the Democratic Party.
So you were a delegate to their convention.
Well, I've been a delegate to every convention since '68.
Mm-hmm.
But the development in that area since we last spoke. I joined what's called the leadership circle of the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee, which raises funds for senators in their re-election or new candidates.
Liberal senators, I assume.
Democratic.
Democratic. Not necessarily.
They're not all liberal. Mm-hmm. But and so I've gotten to know and just about become friendly with about every Democratic senator.
I see.
And have helped them. Mm-hmm. I think my first campaign was 84. And that's been an important activity with me. Mm-hmm.
How do you come to get into something like that?
Well,
the Senate is way in Washington and we're here.
Well, it's an hour to Washington. It's an hour to New York.
Yeah.
I sometimes go up and back the same day. Mm-hmm. But I'm known as their man in Pittsburgh.
I see.
Who else wants to do that? Go out and raise money?
I don't know. I just wondered how you got into that.
And give substantial amounts of my own.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I see.
So that, well, I've been doing this, I guess, since about 1950, mm-hmm. which was the beginning of Americans for Democratic Action, which is part of the post-New Deal.
Yes, New Deal.
People, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been in that activity since mm-hmm. then. And of course, I'm sure I mentioned this in my previous conversations. I was chairman of the local Kennedy campaign here in 1960.
Yes, yes. I remember reading that.
Some of the people that we associated with the see there.
Mm-hmm.
I was a close friend of Humphreys.
Well, we have some pictures, I believe, of you and Humphrey and several of the candidates. So as in the leadership circle of the U.S. Senate,
mm-hmm.
You voluntarily go out or write to people to ask them for contributions?
No, what we do is we bring senators in here and organize a dinner.
You said we, so there are several people here?
Well, I'm the only one here.
Oh.
We,
so that's the editorial we.
Hello? Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just say to you that's going to be Friday at 11 here. Righto.
I understand you're also in the Speakers Club of the U.S. Congress. Is that so?
Well, yeah, that's a more amorphous.
I see.
And that's a large group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if there's any other Pittsburghers in that. I don't think so.
What did you do as a member of the Speakers Club? Did you actually go around to groups here?
Not really. That's more a contributory thing, and you meet in Washington, and it's fundraising, and it's mm-hmm. whipping up enthusiasm in elections.
Mm-hmm.
But, since then, I also was chairman of the finance for Governor Casey mm-hmm. in 1986. Mm-hmm. As a result, I was made chairman of the Task Force for Competitiveness, and out of that came my job as a representative of the governor on Maglev.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about Maglev? I'm not too familiar with it.
Well, Maglev is the new high-speed rail system that goes from here to the airport. It would go.
When it's built.
Yes. I'm chairman for legislation and finance. That takes me to Washington a lot.
I see.
That ties in with my work for the senators and that kind of house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a very effective lobbyist. I'm dealing with my friends in the House and in the Senate for support for this.
Mm-hmm.
So Douglas Waldron, who was a congressman, introduced the maglev bill in the House, mm-hmm. and Senator Jim Exum, EXOM, who had the committee on maglev in the Senate, was my guest here at a fundraising, and strongly supports Pittsburgh as a site for the manufacture of maglev.
Does maglev have a meaning in itself?
It's magnetic levitation.
I see.
It's a system.
So that's the real, that's a system. I wondered what it was.
You probably read about it. Magnetic levitation.
I see.
So,
is there something in the offing on it now?
Oh, yes, I should say. Mm-hmm. The Walgreen bill in the House and the Exum bill. Unfortunately, we got caught up in the budget fight the last week. I'm working with Dick Eberhard on it now. Mm-hmm.
So you have to present a request?
No, I'm sorry, that's Gebhardt.
Gebhardt, that's right, yes. You present a request, you make the pitch for the request.
Well, we work with the committee that would have the jurisdiction on that. We shape it. We're constantly in touch with them, with their people, with their staff.
I see.
In shaping the legislation the way we want. After all, it's a $400 million project, the first segment.
It'll be a federal project then, not a state, because you said Bob Casey appointed you.
Well, Bob Casey appointed me to represent the Commonwealth on the maglev board.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Now, the maglev consists of people representing the city, I represent the state, and the county. I don't want to tell you more than you need to know.
No, I just wonder if it's just that, Pennsylvania,
that
I didn't realize.
Well,
may I interrupt? Was there not also supposed to be transport between here and Philadelphia?
Yes, but that one was vetoed. Because
so that's gone.
That one was vetoed. The one now is a regional. It'll be from here to Cleveland, here to Buffalo, down to West Virginia, to reach others. And I spent a lot of time with my
wife. You do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have. There is no money anywhere, but we've devised a plan whereby our bill provides for federal guarantees of state pension funds, which would be invested in maglev. In other words, the state pension fund would lend us the money. That loan would be guaranteed by the federal government. Nobody has any money, neither the federal, the state, city, or county. I don't have to tell you that.
And especially now with our troubles in the Middle East.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the Reagan legacy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's broke, except the pension funds. Mm-hmm. That's where the money is. There's $26 billion in Pennsylvania. Catherine Baker Knoll is a lady I helped to get elected. But irrespective of that, she's highly supportive of maglev. And if we get this legislation passed, we'll have access to the funds.
I see. Tell me, in your contacts with senators and congressmen, do you also talk with them about the issues, the other issues you're interested in terms of Israel? You know, you have here a specific thing, maglev, but I just wondered in terms of contacts.
Oh, yes.
Lobbying. You said I'm a good lobbyist.
Oh, I am. Mm-hmm. But I don't lobby for the things that AIPAC lobbies for.
I see.
They're my country, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that they support that I don't.
I see.
On the other hand, there was a man who was head it's a body that's in Paris is close to, and that's the labor. Labor Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different group.
Yes.
And the head of that, I had a plan for setting up joint Arab-Israeli schools. Mm-hmm. And I took him in to see Senator Mitchell, who's a close friend of mine, and the Senate Majority Leader, to explain his idea and to try to get funding. Well, he said, the Senator said that that's the most compelling proposal that I've heard in a long time. Mm-hmm. He said, we simply don't have any fund that we can go to. Mm-hmm. So you really can't get money out of the federal government.
I believe PEF does some of that, Jewish Arab schooling, to integrate.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. There are a number. Mm-hmm. There are a number of them. Mm-hmm.
But not through our financial.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've helped to get some money from the United Jewish Federation locally for some of those efforts in Israel. Mm-hmm.
Are you active in Israel?
No, not.
Were you ever?
Oh yes, I was chairman of the. And as a Community Relations Council from about 1970 to 73. Mm-hmm. That's in the other book, I'm sure.
That's, yes, because that was well back.
And I used to be much more active. I'm just, I guess now that I look back at the 80s, that's the time I took off and went into much broader activity in the Jewish community.
Yeah, I recall reading that you were somewhat disappointed some of the things UJF was doing. I just wondered, in your activities, whether you tried to influence a redirection of some of these distribution of funds by UJF in terms of this.
No, what I've done is I have diverted a good part of my annual giving to Israel. Mm-hmm. To Pishnau in Israel, to Civil Liberties Union, the Golda Meir Fund. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was giving a large sum of money to the Golda Meir Fund, which is a fund organized by labor to teach democracy to the Oriental Jews, mm-hmm. and now to the Soviet Jews, mm-hmm. who have no experience with it. Mm-hmm. When you would ask a young person from one of these immigrant families, not from the West, what is democracy? Well, democracy means you can do anything you want to do. Mm-hmm. We're talking about license, not democracy. Mm-hmm. So these are classes taught to train why they should belong to the Labor Party. Mm-hmm. I put that wrong. It's not within the context of a political affiliation.
Right.
But it's democracy and free speech. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And citizen participation and responsibility. Western values.
That's through the Golda Meir.
The Golda Meir Fund, yes. Mm-hmm. For which I've raised considerable amounts of money and supported.
All right, we'll stop for a minute now, turn the tape.